I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of MMA. This podcast is available, as always, at MMAoddsmaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Please like, share, subscribe. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMArings.net. So, September 13th, I was born 31 years ago today. It is my birthday. So, special birthday edition of the podcast. Happy birthday myself. And I appreciate the people that did wish me happy birthday. Thanks so much. It means a lot to me, actually. James Lynch, good buddy there. Thanks so much, James. Keep me a shout on Twitter. Means a lot, James. Thanks. So, got a few things to talk about today, guys. Pretty short show. I got to keep it short. It's my birthday after. I got a party, right? So, I'm just kidding. There's not too much to talk about. A few pieces of news and then a couple fight announcements. Nothing crazy. It's been kind of slow the last couple of days, which is fine. But I'm expecting that to pick up whenever John Jones' next fight's announced or whenever UFC 245 gets those title fights announced. So, let's start with the news here. I'm going to start with American Top Team. Obviously, there's a lot going on there with the beef between Colby Covington and Horst cover a little bit the other day. But now Colby Covington's talking a bit more. And according to Colby, he does believe that there's a chance he might have to leave the top team. And I thought this was coming. And I talked to Cole Sheldon the other day. I thought there was a good chance. Cole kind of disagreed with me. He's interviewed Dan Lambert a bunch of times. I wanted to ask him what he thought, but he thought, you know, because Dan's the owner of ATT and because he's Colby's manager, he's going to be the one who stays. But according to Colby Covington himself, he thinks there's a real chance that he could actually have to be the one who leaves America Top Team. There's an interview with Kinch over at BJPenn.com. I definitely urge you guys to check that interview out. That guy, Kinch, does a great job. So check that interview out. But Tom Taylor did an article about it, so I'll just kind of talk about some of the stuff that Colby said here. He said that's a real possibility. It's a very real possibility. I don't know. Dan Lambert's a bit nervous about everything, about it. We've been having talks the last couple of days. He's very nervous about it. He doesn't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm always there at the gym. They know where to find me, and if they want to cause a scene and make friction in the gym, I know Dan doesn't like that. He doesn't want that rap. That's the word part about this is the rap our gym's getting, that there's so much friction in the gym, but everybody knows that the results speak for themselves. ATT is the greatest gym in the world. We have the best fighters, the best coaches, the best facilities. So I just hope Dan doesn't let the opinions of outsiders influence what we're really doing. At the end of the day, people are going to love you and people are going to hate you, man. That just take it all. There's no such thing as bad publicity. The only bad publicity is no publicity. So it's interesting. He's actually out there saying that there's a chance he might have to leave. And again, I thought this was the thing that would happen because Masvidal is a staple at gym. He's been there forever. It wouldn't really make sense that he'd be the guy who has to leave because Colby's the one kind of starting problems right now, especially with Dustin Poirier as well, who from all accounts, Dustin Poirier is the guy who just kind of keeps his mouth shut and works hard. So, you know, I personally like Colby Covington. I enjoy his shtick. I think he's hilarious. Yeah, it's cringe, but I think it's funny. And it's gotten pretty far in the UFC in such a short amount of time. But when you start to antagonize your teammates like this, it's just not cool, man. So, you know, I know Dan Lambert obviously doesn't want him to leave. Dan Lambert thinks that Colby could be his cash cow. But right now, there just seems to be a lot of friction there. I don't think that team can coincide the way it is right now currently. When you have Colby Covington and Jorge Masvidal, two alpha males at the top of your gym, also have Dustin Poirier there as well. And Colby doesn't like either of them anymore. So I just feel like it's not going to work out. Who knows? I mean, this whole thing could be a show. It could just be a joke. You know, we don't really know. I mean, Colby Covington, Dan Lambert, they're all in professional wrestling. The whole thing could be a big joke on the fans and on the media, but I feel like it's pretty real. And speaking about Masvidal, I should talk about him a little bit. He also did an interview yesterday with the Dan Lebatard show. And he explained why he's pissed at Colby. He basically said he didn't pay his coach. So he said, he ripped off my coach. That was his coach. We were with him until his title fight. After he won the title, he owed him a certain amount of money and didn't pay him. I said, if you don't pay him, I'm going to fuck you up. My coach got between it. It doesn't have to be like this. Let us slide. So they talked to the dude. It's been about years of change. It is what it is. All these words, they do have consequences because the guy used to leave my coach, used to eat off me because I was the one with the sponsors. He was just relatively uninsured. I was helping this guy out. It hurts that he would do this. In a way, just for likes on Facebook, just for a retweet on Twitter. He's doing that to get you and me talking about him. Honestly, it's hard to disagree with Masvidal. And again, I like Colby Covington. I'm actually one of his fans. I think the guy's great. Great fighter, and I personally think his shtick is pretty funny. But you don't turn your back on your friends, man. It's not cool. And it really does seem like that's what's happening. It feels like Colby Covington turned his back on the gym, not the other way around. So, again, We as fans of media, we don't know everything that's going on. There's a lot of other stuff going on. And again, some of this could be a bit of a show. But from what we've seen, there's deep-rooted issues here in this camp. And it doesn't seem like they're going to be solved anytime soon. I remember a few years ago with the Robbie Lawler-Tyron Woodley thing and one of them had to leave. Robbie ended up leaving the camp. Tyron barely, I don't think, even works with ADT anymore. He just does the stuff at Rufus Sport now. Could be wrong about that, but I don't think he has any real affiliation that as much as he used to anyways. So, yeah, there's just so much going on at that camp. I personally feel like American Top Team is the greatest gym in the world, and I feel like Dan Lambert wants to keep it that way. And unfortunately, if Dan Lambert wants to keep it that way, he's probably going to have to make a decision here and either tell Covington or Masvidal to leave. And I feel like Covington's going to be the one who's going to have to leave. Just based on everything I'm seeing here, it just feels like his time kind of run out that camp. And you know what? It's all good because I think Covington, there's other camps out there that are great for him as well. But I just feel like the time's run out at this camp. So I could be wrong about this. Maybe they mend fences and everything gets worked out and Colby Masvidal can stay, but I just can't see that happening when they're two of the top three contenders probably in that division, welterweight division right now, two of the top three guys in the world at 170, and they're on a path to fight. At some point, one of them is going to have to leave. This isn't like the old days at like American Kickbox Academy and Josh Koscheck and John Fitch kept refusing to fight. These guys, I think, actually want to fight at some point. They know it's a big fight, and yeah, I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, they were best friends a couple years ago, and like Masvidal said, you know, allegedly anyways, that he, you know, he helped Colby eat. And I think Colby's probably helped him out a lot too. Just it's a shame when friendships end like this. I mean, that's life though, right? Like all of us have had friendships that have ended in a way that we didn't want them to end, including myself, you know, many friendships that, you know, it was either my fault or their fault, it didn't end the right way. So it looks like it's going to be the same case here. But the good thing is it's MMA. And the good thing is sometimes in real life, friendships end and you're pissed off at the person. You can't do anything about it. But in MMA, they can fight. So I do think this fight's going to happen at some point, probably next year, Masvidal versus Covington. But for right now, this camp's got figured out. And like I said, Dan Lambert, according to Covington, is already in the process of kind of figuring out what to do. And I feel like it's going to be him telling Colby, you know what, I am your manager, but I don't think this is working right now at the gym because there's just too much tension. There's so many guys that train there. It's a huge gym. At some point, this was bound to happen. It's unfortunate, but this is what happens at super camps. At some point, time just runs out, and it looks like Colby's time at ATT has run out. Could be wrong. Maybe Masvidal's the one who leaves. He goes to Jackson Wink or something. I don't think so, though. I feel like Colby's going to be the one who leaves. So we'll see what happens. This is all speculation on my part, but it's fun to talk about. All right, a couple other things here. Dustin Poirier posted a nice Instagram post here. Cool picture with Khabib after the fight. Very cool picture. A lot of respect between these two guys. Obviously, they exchanged shirts after the fight. Poirier said, everything happens for a reason. This is my journey, and it's unique. Thank you, Khabib, for another tough life lesson. No excuse. So, cool response here by Poirier. I mean, this guy is, first off, he's a great fighter, but by all accounts, Dustin Poirier is just a great guy, too. And a very genuine person, a guy who's worked his way up the top. I mean, I have the Fightville DVD. I watched that years ago, and it's really incredible that he's come this far, you know, to the top of the sport. Didn't reach the pinnacle like Khabib is, unfortunately, but it's hard to be a champion in the UFC, especially when you have to fight a guy like Khabib, just so damn good. So it's cool that they definitely shared that moment, and a lot of respect between these two guys. And you know, one of the things I love about MMA is the respect between the fighters, and it's not always there, but I think a lot of times it is there, even if they don't say it. In this case, though, they, you know, these guys really do respect each other, and you know, it's pretty cool. All right, Todd Duffy, he's fighting Jeff Hughes tomorrow night in Vancouver. I'll talk about that in a second, but he did an interview with the media yesterday, and man, he was pretty critical of the media. Todd Duffy was not happy. He told the media to step up their game. I'll give you some quotes here. He said, I sat out 2 years. Let me just give some context. The media, he did a few interviews. I know James interviewed him. The guy's a junkie, interviewed him as well. I think he was just literally tired of answering the same question about why he hasn't fought in 4 years. And he just kind of exploded on the media after that. So he said, contract, you can't fight 10 and 10 to make a living. Not when the average guy fights 1.8 times a year. Flat out, couldn't do it. Fought in the main event. Top of the world is what it is. I'm tired of talking with you guys. You guys know the truth. I'm tired of you guys making me follow the sport where you step up your game. So, yikes. And then he also gave a couple other quotes here. You guys are making me come out and talk about this when I shouldn't have to. I mean, Joe Rogan's on his podcast making fun of it. Every interview is like, why did you sit over 2 years? You know exactly why I sat up for 2 years. Like, why are we doing this? I did three interviews about this. I'm tired of this, and I guess I'm taking it out on you. Cut the BS, guys. Do your job. It's the whole media blanket. Just stop the crap. I've done 4 interviews today. I'm fed up with it. So the dude is seriously pissed off, clearly, at the media. I don't know. It's unfortunate, but that he's missed so much time. But it's not the media's fault. So I feel like Todd Duffy's kind of taking his frustrations out on the reporters, which isn't fair at all. When your job is a fighter, it's not just the fighting. You have to do the media as well. And this goes for all pro sports. And I think there's a lot of guys, like Marshawn Lynch was obviously the most famous example of a guy who, just based on his personality type, he did not like doing media, and he was fined for it, for not talking to the media. He didn't want to talk. It was only there because he had to be. I feel like Todd Duffy was the same way. Like, I feel like he had stuff to say, but he just was so angry that he couldn't get out the right points that he wanted to make. So I actually like Todd Duffy. I think he's a pretty good fighter, and he's been around a while. And I feel like he's one of those guys that, you know, he was cut. He came up as a hot shot prospect. He got cut. He had to work his way back to the UFC. And I feel like he's taking a hard road in his career. But at the same time, I don't feel like this is the way you can treat the media. Like, this is not right. And, you know, this is just isn't cool, man. So he just came off like a dick. I mean, straight up. And, you know, I know for fans, they probably love it because, you know, sometimes let's be honest, the media does deserve to be criticized. But in this specific case, I just think people wanted to know why he was out of the sport for so long. And yes, it is on the media to watch other interviews or read other interviews and be like, okay, he's already talked about this. Now I can ask him how that felt to be out. Instead of saying, why were you out? You could say, how did it feel to miss, you know, 2 years of your prime? How did it feel when you fell through that cage against Blagoy Ivanov at the Tough Gym and blew out your knee or whatever it was? So those are the kind of questions they could have been asking. But either way, Todd Duffy was definitely an angry guy at the media. And it is what it is. I don't think it's going to come to anything. It wasn't like super, super bad or anything. It's not like he was swearing, but clearly wasn't happy with the line of questioning, asking where he's been the last couple of years, when apparently he's already answered that in 4 other interviews. Okay, a couple of pieces of that's it for the news. A couple of fight announcements here. So not really anything special, but there's a few fights that have been added to UFC Moscow. Vince Pichel will be taking on Alexander Yakovlev. Vince Pichel, he is 36 now, so he's a little bit older than he seems like, because he hasn't fought that much the last couple of years. So he's 12-0 in his career, including a 5-2 record in the UFC, and he has that win earlier this year against Roosevelt Robert. That was a nice upset win there for Pichel. He was in the UFC back in 2012, made it to the UFC back in 2012, and since he only has 7 fights, so he basically fights once a year. It's unfortunate he missed 3 years between 2014 and 2017, so that sucks for Pichel. A lot of injuries, but it looks like he's back on a nice schedule here, so good for him. We all remember him from the Ultimate Fighter Live. He went to the semifinals, lost to Ali Quinta in the show, but the guy's a solid fighter, man, no doubt about it. And he takes on Alexander Yakovlev here in Russia in November. Yakovlev, he's 35 years old, so he's actually almost the same age, a little bit younger, but in the UFC, he's 3-4, so not a great record, but he is coming off a nice win here over Alex Da Silva Colho, winning that fight by submission in the second round. That was also in Russia earlier this year. Overall, though, just really hasn't, I think, lived up to the hype. There was some hype on this guy a few years ago when he came to the UFC. He had beaten Paul Daly to make it to the octagon, but he lost back-to-back fights against Damian Maia and Nico Masoke. And then, he got some decent wins, I guess, at the time over Graham Mayer, George Sullivan. But since then, lost to Usman Cummings. So he's had some tough losses. I mean, look at the guys he's faced, like Usman, Maia. Those are amazing fighters. Cummings, no slouch there. Masoke, I don't think he's in the UFC anymore. No, he's not. But he wasn't a bad fighter either. So to me, it's kind of had a tough road, but this fight against Pichel definitely is a winnable fight. This is a fight that can go either way, honestly. Really have no, super solid pick here. I guess with Yakovlev being in Russia, you could lean him towards him a little bit. He's a pretty big guy for welterweight, for lightweight, I should say. But he's 6'3". I mean, he's a huge lightweight, so he's one of the biggest guys. But Pichel is definitely a solid fighter, so I wouldn't count him out of this fight. Also, add to UFC Moscow, we have a welterweight bout between Danny Hot Chocolate Roberts and Zalim Mamadiev, so that's an interesting fight. Danny Roberts, pull him out here. Danny Roberts, 32 years old, so he's a little bit older than I thought, actually. But he's had a pretty decent run in the UFC. He has a 5-4 record, so a positive record, but last two fights obviously got finished by Michelle Pereira with that flying knee back in May, and then Claudio Silva earlier this year in an amazing fight. One of the best fights of the year, a fight that doesn't get talked about. Last year, he won fight the night against Steven Zawada. So he's either kill or be killed. And, you know, that's fun to watch. Like Mike Perry fight from 2016, that was an absolutely incredible fight. So he's been in some amazing fights. Again, the Claudio Silva fight this year, if you didn't see that fight, go back and watch that fight. One of my favorite fights of this year. So he's been in some great fights. Pretty solid fighter, but definitely susceptible to getting KO'd. He's been knocked out three times in the UFC. And he's also been submitted as well. Submitted twice in his career, including once in the UFC. So a great fighter as far as action goes, but the results aren't always there. And now he takes on Zalim Mamadiev at UFC Moscow. So Zalim Mamadiev, he's coming off, I believe, a loss, majority decision loss to Max Griffin in his debut in the octagon. Before that, he had won 8 straight fights by knockout to open up his career. So losing to Max Griffin, Max Griffin's not a bad fighter. He's a decent fighter, a gatekeeper type. So he lost the majority decision there. It was a really close fight. Could have went either way, but ends up getting the loss. This fight's definitely close as well. I would have to favor Mamadiev just based on the fact he's going to be fighting at home and the fact that before that Griffin fight, he'd been undefeated. But Roberts, you can't count him out completely in this one. He always has that knockout power that can change the fight. And a fight between Andrew Sanchez and Marvin Vettori that was scheduled for this weekend at UFC Vancouver was canceled. And now it's been rescheduled for UFC Tampa. So hopefully those guys are ready to go in a month. I feel like that was a pretty quick turnaround, but you know, it looks like they're going to be ready in a month. So why not get that fight booked again? I did pick Marvin Vettori in the podcast. And if they do end up fighting that fight and not getting injured again, I'll still be picking Marvin Vettori. I just feel like he's a better fighter. So that should be good. But yeah, UFC on ESPN Plus 16, aka UFC Vancouver, aka UFC Fight Night 158. Oh my God, there's so many different names for this, but there are still, I think, 12 fights in this card. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, 12 fights. So myself and Colt Sheldon, we did our full breakdowns on Tuesday, breaking down all the fights in the card. It's a pretty good card. I'm looking forward to it. The main event, obviously, Justin Gaethje, Dolph Cerrone. It's an amazing fight. And also Nikita Krylov, Glover Teixeira. That should be good. And after Todd Duffy's interview yesterday, I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to be hoping he gets KO'd. A lot of people in the media, I should say. You also have that Jim Crute, Misha Serkinov fight, which should be really good. Ryan Hall returns against Antonio Carlos Jr. And there's some good prelims there, like Hunter Azur, Spragatona, Miles versus Cole Smith. Very, very, very good card, actually. A little bit underrated, if anything. Fly under the radar. And then next week, we have UFC Mexico City. So it never stops. There's always cards coming up. Bellator's got a couple cards at the end of the month. It's a very busy month for MMA. And I think that's all I want to talk about today, guys. So it's Friday, September 13th. I'm going to be celebrating my birthday tonight. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, guys, thanks again for tuning in. I appreciate it. This podcast has been it's been a lot of fun to do, and I always appreciate you guys tuning in and checking it out. So, guys, follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is as always at MMAIsRigger. Tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at bjpenn.com and MMArings.net. I apologize for my voice this week. I haven't been feeling well for about 2 weeks now, but hopefully I'm back healthy on Monday. Until then, though, guys, have a great weekend. Enjoy it. And I'll be back Monday breaking down UFC Vancouver and talking about whatever else happened in this crazy world we called the world of mixed martial arts. Guys, have a great day, and I will talk to you on Monday. See ya.